right, we are back on the Real Marriage Podcast. Finally, it's been a while. I don't know how long it's been, but it's been a while, but we got one in April. Good job.
We did it.
Good job. This today ties in perfectly as to why we are hit and miss and sporadic with this, but our five kiddos and how we pour into them and the time we have around that, which is very little. But how are you doing?
It's good to be with you.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. We really should like act like we're doing a podcast, turn this off and just talk to each other and catch up on life, I feel like. Because
we use this as our way to talk.
Yeah, we're just getting everything out, aren't we? Our kids come downstairs after we put them to bed multiple times.
Oh, man.
It's so funny the reasons they'll come up with. When Skylar came down randomly about her birthday in a month or two of an idea to think about, I just wanted to share that with you.
But it's like when they're finally settling, they think of all these things and then they want to talk, which is normal. But it's like I was with you all day, all day long.
So funny. But. It's all good. But the year's flying by and we have been, I guess, gearing up. A lot of our purchases or planning has been around this idea of that we have committed to, which is homeschooling. Mm-hmm. And when I say we, I mean a lot for you that we've prayed a lot about. And it sparked this kind of general thought. There's a lot of ways we could go. We're just going to see how this conversation goes, I think, about creating boundaries for your family, creating boundaries for your kids, and just this world that we live in and how we navigate raising them. Mm-hmm. And I'll just start with this because I had lunch with an awesome couple that's new to our church on Sunday. And they have younger kids. They have two younger kids, I think 3 and 1. And they were asking me about this plan to homeschool and how's school been and all this kind of stuff. And I could just feel kind of the fear from her, the mama bear of like, wow, scared of what's next. And, you know, what are we exposing them to? What's that culture like? And how do we protect? What are the options? And she was very intrigued by kind of what our plan is and what we're headed towards.
Yeah.
And it's just something you and I think a lot about, mm-hmm. about the culture we live in, but what's the culture of how we want to raise our kids and create the right boundaries for them, right? Mm-hmm. Versus bubble wrapping them or however, you know, other people shielding them mm-hmm. from the world and all those kind of things. So how excited are you to talk about this?
Because
this
is so
kind of where you live
in
a lot of ways.
I think that a lot of people feel almost defensive, like that you're homeschooling, it's like you're sheltering your children, or it almost seems like I'm trying to keep all the bad out. And then, you know, with that mindset, then people think, well, when they finally get out from under your care, they're going to go crazy. You know, they're going to break all the rules.
And, well, there's so many. I guess we should preface this. Everyone, it's your own decisions, your own. We're just kind of sharing our process, I guess. Certainly not trying to make it seem like everyone should do it our way for sure. But I think it's cool as we navigate five kids and we're in the thick of about to have a middle schooler. Elisha's our first son, our only son going into kindergarten and these big decisions. But there's all those things, people mm-hmm. that have over sheltered. And then there have been kids that go crazy at the public college or just break out of this. Like, we've seen a lot of different things, I guess.
We have. And you grew up going to daycare and public school your entire life.
Yep.
And
after school stuff. Both parents worked.
Yeah. I went to private school my whole life. So two completely polar opposite upbringings.
Yeah, right.
And this was never the thought for us. This was never the intention all along, you know. And I had no experience. If you would have told me I'd be homeschooling, I'd be like, no. I would never have thought that. But it became more about not keeping things out of their lives. Of course, yes, that's a factor, especially with the culture and the world we live in and how things are progressing and what things are becoming. It just seems things are heating up more. But it's also been more of like, no, what do I want to fill them up with?
And what's the opportunity the other way?
Time is what I need to fill. That is like the currency. And so it's like, I have felt this shift since moving here and being in public school that I have lost 35 to 40 hours a week with the two girls that are still in public school. And there is a difference from where I am and how close I am with the three that are home versus the two that aren't. I want more time with them.
Yeah.
To pour into them spiritually, to mold their character. Mm. Like, I want to raise them. It's not so much about, yes, the education is important and all those things, but it is about their character development and who they're becoming and who they were created to be. And to do that, you need time. You don't need the leftovers. Mm. You need the prime.
Right.
You need the time. And so that's kind of what I guess, because when we were in Florida, we did a hybrid. So they would go to school 3 days a week and then they would be homeschooled too. And so they were still with us more than they were at school. Now that had its own challenges and struggles there. But from switching to full public school, you know, that many hours away, I have felt just an unsettled of like, this isn't how I want this to look. This isn't how I want this. This literally doesn't feel right to me. Mm-hmm. I'm just getting the leftovers of them. Saturday is then a recovery day.
Well, and then when they get home, they let it all out and it's messy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like all their emotions and all the stuff they've been dealing with or wearing. And
as they should. But then I'm not getting to plant seeds. I'm just like putting Band-Aids on everything that happened. You know?
Yeah, it hurt our relationship with them, I think is what you're saying. The blessing is that you've been at home. We got priced out of daycare a long time ago, a few kids ago, which made no sense. So, you know, we felt led for you to stay home very early on, probably 2 years into our marriage, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I had part-time jobs, but I always was...
Right.
We fought really hard to work together to have me be able to stay home, which has been such a gift.
But that, when you look at it, and man, everyone knows, especially if you have kids or if you don't, life's so busy. And, you know, weekends, we're doing soccer now, and Harper has dance, and it's Tuesday night, Thursday night, Wednesday night, we're at church. And so the amount of time you actually have to pour into your kids, build them up, let alone you and I having time together. You're right. That's kind of the battle. And when you talk about time, then you're talking about influence.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what you're saying is we felt now the predominant influence in our kids' lives in a lot of ways, in certain ways, is at school.
Uh-huh.
The kids are around, the adults, that culture, 7 hours a day, 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And we've just felt more and more of the impact of that.
Mm-hmm.
And wanting to kind of fight to get more of our own influence of how we want to pour into them and build them up character-wise, spiritually, all that.
And wouldn't you say, from being in youth ministry, that a lot of parents lose their influence as their kids get older?
Well, this is what's... I just want to present this because I came into parenting in a way, just my mindset was just do the norm.
Right.
You work, I work. They go to school, just maybe because of what I knew. I knew public school was a mess, like mess.
Yeah.
In South Carolina and in Florida. And the stuff I was exposed to, and I didn't really grow up Christian, became a Christian in 10th grade. But the things I was exposed to in public school is, if you look at it from a protective, purity standpoint, was just horrible.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It was just free for all.
Mm-hmm.
And, but anyway, I just kind of came into it, a lot of parenting ways of a lot of different things. It's like, you just do the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really have a context outside of the box. Like you were talking about, you're smiling, which is funny.
Because I just feel like I've changed all the ways you were thinking to do things.
Well, you opened my mind to think, wait, we don't have to do it just like they kind of tell us to do it.
Yeah.
There's other options essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And our heart is to be around our kids as much as we can and to influence them as much as we can. And I want that role and I want that responsibility, or you do as well. And so there's just been like this freedom, I guess, of like, man, there is so many options.
Mm-hmm.
And it's different in a lot of ways, or it pulls, you're not working or this or that. But I think I said this before, when I talk to people around funerals or when people are about to pass away, the only thing they really want to talk about is their family.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when they share the bad stuff or the regrets of, I wish it wasn't like this with this child or that grandkid or, and they don't talk about their work. They may share, I worked here, worked there, but what their heart comes alive for, or what you hear the most about is, man, my family. Because that's what you kind of take with you throughout. You
absolutely.
Know? But just my mind has now been open to like, how do we want to do it? Mm-hmm. And what's the best for our family dynamics and the kids long term? Because there's so many options on the table, which is way different for me to think about in a very good way.
Sure. Yeah. And I love that. I feel like we both, I think as in a marriage, you bring in your childhood, you bring in your experience.
Sure, and what you know.
With a lot of things, with how Christmas should go, with how holiday, I mean, all of it, right?
Right.
And so when you think about your children, you just assume, oh, we're going to do it this way, or this is what I had. But you can't because it's a different world. Like, it's just a totally, and I feel like from the 3 years we've been in public school, the things that our children have know now, where their innocence and purity has been taken, probably you and I weren't aware of until high school, middle school, probably middle school for you, high school for me, a little later with being, but they're just the intensity of the things that are now more acceptable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so when you were a youth pastor, did you see parents, or did you ever see a struggle of with just a disconnect?
Sure. There's a, and I think that this is what's interesting is that's natural.
Right.
But should it be, right? And I don't necessarily know. Right. The norm is probably middle school now. They want their own, like, kind of push you away. They want to learn things on their own. They want to be I can't think of the word, independent, and kind of go certain ways, try certain. Mm-hmm. I went through that in high school and just trying to navigate some of those things. So that's the norm. But yes, what would crush parents, specifically moms, was like, they don't listen to me. They don't want to hear me. There's a distance, and the kids are just kind of trying out the world. They're dabbling into dating. They're dabbling into these certain situations. The friends are hanging out with, drugs were predominant. And it's just like, how normal that was, but certainly not the ideal. And there was this like urgency from the parents to get it back or re-win. Mm-hmm. But the focus has been the grades. The focus has been school. The focus has been sports. The focus has been so many things. There wasn't a lot of room for the relational part.
Yeah.
And the influence and the spiritual influence.
Mm-hmm. And so when I think of it as the opportunity we have as parents to create this culture in your home, like, you've got one shot at this. Mm. And I think about, like, when my kids are all in their 20s sitting at a coffee shop with their friends, like, what do I want them to say about their childhood? Because they're living it out right now. And that's a pretty intense thought.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like, but I think about these things of like their good old days, like, that's right now. And I get to create something for them. And you know, I think a lot of parents can be torn. You know, we want our kids to be successful. We want them to be straight A students. Yeah. We want them to get a scholarship and be an amazing athlete. And I do. I want all those things. But more than that is, I want them to be burning for Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's that, like, all that other, like, nothing else will be at the end of their life besides their family, our relationship, and they don't bring all those things with them before Jesus one day. It's their faith.
Sure.
And and that's, again, it's like, what are your goals? What are your desires? And like, that dictates the decisions you make. And no matter how, I guess, odd they seem to people around you, you know, or how countercultural, or like, well, this isn't what we've done, or it's like, but what if God is leading you to do something completely different?
Yeah, set apart.
And I always think of, out of all the generations, of all the people, God chose us to be parents in this culture, in this season, right now. Not, thank goodness, when you could have been sent to war, or like, the Lord knew I couldn't handle that.
Yeah, right.
Like, I just think about these things, and it's like, man, no, but right now I've been called. And so, like, Lord, you have my yes, and whatever that looks like, I will sacrifice anything. What a better use of my time than pouring it in to my children. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people also get intimidated by the actual teaching, but it's like, you're teaching them anyway. And actually, this comes with an answer key. Like, you can get curriculum that tells you what to say.
Well, yeah.
And I'm just using school to build, well, my heart is to just use math and language arts to bond and build their character. And let's learn resilience and let's learn how to overcome. And
sure.
I'm like teaching Skylar how to read and we're cuddled up on the couch. Like, that's what I got to do for 25 minutes. Like, that was amazing.
Right,
so I was filling up her cup and with touch and love and nearness and then encouraging her with her words as she's reading. It's like I am building deep relationships with my children. And then we're just randomly talking about Jesus, like all throughout the day, and then getting to open the Bible together because I have the time to do it. And it's right when they, and it's, I will say this too, and I don't, you can tell me what you think, but I feel like as you and I have become more and more aware of the culture of our home, you know, what we watch, what they watch, what we listen to, like guarding the presence of the Lord, and just being really aware of that. I just feel like our, and now our kids fight, like, and they yell and they whine, like, we're not perfect at this at all. You and I fail all the time, but I feel like our family time has gotten richer, wouldn't you say? As you and I have gone deeper
the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I think there's a, kind of comes from the top. There's a healthiness there. There's an intentionality there. There's a heart there, you know, that the Lord's kind of fires us up to invest more there and to try to push away things that aren't as important and protect that time and protect our connection with them, relationship with them, all of that. So for sure. And I think it's given us kind of a mindset to be locked in as much as we can with it.
And then, so you are working, you work like a normal hour job frame plus more with being a pastor. It just kind of comes whenever, if you're needed, you got to go. But when you think about having all the kids home, having lunch with them, or just, do you see ways in which you're going to be able to engage in them even with their school or teaching them like domesticated things that we know that we know that we know that they're going to need to use in life versus like calculus. like does that excite you, or do you see opportunity there for you as well?
Yeah. Cause I see, like, I get home and they're in their mode of just kind of like pushing the day away and they just want to be free. And I get home at 4:30 or whatever the case is. And then it's kind of, I pick one or two to try to hang out with or play with. And my time is limited. So that, I think what you're relaying is I already feel in my setup a limited amount of time, a selective amount of time with the kids and my influence and my voice and my being there to pour into them, especially now coaching Skylar and away 2 nights a week. And we do a life group on Wednesdays. It's like, it's hectic. And our time, my time is sparse in a way, especially individually with them. And so I do, for sure, I get excited about more opportunities and to find ways to be a part of that. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was my question for you.
Yeah, I think too, it's like a lot of people, I know we're going in the homeschool direction in our, I think the whole idea is generally as a family or as parents, how you approach your influence and, you know, pouring into your kids and setting up the culture that you'd like. A lot, you know, I used to be scared, or I used to see homeschool kids and there was that social awkwardness. The fears of like pulling them away in the social aspect and they don't get certain experiences and all of that. And then I used to kind of think along those lines as well. It's more of the negative.
Yeah.
Or they need to be exposed to the world because that's the world they're going to live in and all of that. Mm. But there's just I think maybe more people are aware coming from COVID and rethinking things and hearing more about what goes on in schools or we know a lot of teachers, and the blessing for us here, even with the kids at school, we there's a wonderful teachers, wonderful leadership around them, but it's just more the, I don't know, the culture they're around, and the teachers are exhausted and they're doing an amazing job.
It's the kids, it's the other.
The families they come from and what they are exposed to. And when you hear certain things at elementary school of what they can be exposed to in our learning versus our vision and what we desire for our kids at the core of who they are, their character, their faith, their purity. I does feel like an obligation of protecting their innocence, whether it be where you send them for 7 hours a day, 5 days a week, or what they watch on the television, or if they have access to a phone where they can look at anything in the world, which adults can't even handle very well. There is that responsibility that,
100%.
That we have as parents to guard and protect their hearts. So if I have to trade off, they're not as able to have a good conversation with another 15-year-old in a few years for Harper versus a pure heart, a protected heart, not exposed to the sin of the world at that age, I think I'm going to lean a certain way.
Yeah.
Because I know what I was exposed to in the real world, and it wasn't helpful for me.
We want to do better. Can you imagine Harper walking through what you walked through at 15 as a girl, like, or your son?
Yeah, it's messy for sure.
Well, and I think too, we want them to be fully independent of us, right? We want them to, you know, think of just even like, I want my daughters to know how to like run a home, tend to a home, do laundry, cook meals.
They
need to know how to do their taxes. Like they need to know, like I want them to know how to sew. I want them to know how to garden. I want them to know how to take care of things that I know without a shadow of a doubt they're going to need to know how to do.
Sure.
And I want to equip them with that. But I'm also at the same time wanting them to be fully dependent upon the Holy Spirit. And we go out and when we're going to go do things, they're going to see the world. They're going to see homosexuality. Like they're going to see just different things that we wouldn't want them to be around for 7 hours a day. They're still going to see it when I go into different places with them. But then I get to ask them about, I get to be right there and be like, do you want to talk about anything?
Yeah.
And then I get to kind of break it down with them and be like, well, what did you feel by the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, you're the predominant voice.
And I get to coach them. And there's even been opportunities with Skylar being home where she says something and she's like, I felt this when I walked by. I'm like, and I get to say, that's called the conviction of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And I said, so when you feel that again, let me know and let's talk about it.
Yep.
And that was us like at the park, like, or something with her brother where she got mad and then she felt bad for what she did. And, and so there I'm pushing her towards Jesus and, you know, and it's like, here, come here, let me teach you how to do the laundry. Like, it's like, oh yeah. And then we're going to do math in 10 minutes. It's like, this is great.
Yeah. It's like, I think we see the world a lot of, there's not a great character, human development in people. It's kind of a mess. So well, I think that's a good question to ask because, you know, I was close with my parents, but I certainly drifted to try to figure things out because I was exposed to this world and I'm on the soccer team and the guys and the, you know, the teachers. I just like, it was a mess. It was just kind of all over the place. And it's like, who's the predominant voice in their lives? Mm-hmm. And that's what you're asking about in youth ministry. I saw just like the terror in the eyes of these parents of like, I have lost, I am not the main influence in my children's lives.
Right.
And I don't know, people call that a helicopter parent or whatever. It's like, no, your responsibility is to do that. It's to pour into them and guard them and protect them and teach them and lead them, disciple them, whatever you want to call it. So yeah, making the choice to create an environment where we set the culture of what they grow up in. And then we get to decide on our own terms how much we expose them on a sports team for a few hours a week or in this serving in this area or going to this, you know, co-op or et cetera. There's so now you have the ability to decide. Same as like you're not going to watch this for an hour. You get 30 minutes. So you would dial it in, you know?
Yeah.
And again, even knowing amazing teachers and great people that are in there, it's just more the culture and the different things they're exposed to that other kids, families don't subscribe to how we would do it. And then they pour that in front of them. And it's like innocence lost.
Yeah. And you can't you're not get it there. Back.
And how much are they even telling you? Because then they're ashamed because they saw something or felt something. And then they're trying to think, well, that's what my friends do. And then you don't even know half the stuff that because they're just doing it. That's what I was a quiet kid. Mm-hmm. And I dealt with it internally. Didn't want to talk about it because it was awkward. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or it felt uncomfortable. And so I kept them at a distance mm-hmm. and dealt with it myself.
Which is a lot like one of our daughters. I can tell she's just a sponge. And she's just absorbing everything she's seeing.
Feeler.
And she yep. is around some tough, tough, tough stuff yep. that I wasn't around till college, yeah. literally. Yeah. And she's around yeah. it now. And she's 9, just turned 9. And I can tell because over spring break, she randomly would tell me things. It was like she'd be swinging on the swing in her little world.
Would come out.
And then she'd just randomly be like, hey, what's this mean? I'm like, what? And then she'd... Yeah, I heard this. And I'm like, when? She's like, like a month ago. I'm like, oh my goodness. But it was like she was home for a week. So she finally got to
process it,
like let it all out. Right. It felt like toxins coming out of her. Mm. And then I had to like check my face and Holy Spirit tell me really fast how to teach this, you know? And thank goodness she told me. But it's like, I, it's just not the environment for her that I want her to thrive in. And I think I always think about a greenhouse, you know, those who do gardening, it's like you put your most precious. Whoa. Did you hear that accent?
What was that?
Oh man, I'm becoming sad. Precious heavens to Betsy. That was terrible. Okay. Let me try it again. You put your most fragile plants. Now I just want to say it a country anyway, in a greenhouse to make sure they're ready for them when you take them out mm-hmm. and you plant them, then they can thrive.
Sure.
And so that's my visual for my home. It is a greenhouse. It is to fill them up with the amount of sun, water, nourishment, everything they need yeah. so that when they go out and are in the world, they can withstand the wind, the rain, the snow. They can yeah. handle it because yeah. I've prepped and prepared them well. Instead of now, I feel like they're out there and then they're coming back and I'm trying to fix what's already happened and sure. I'm behind and I can't get ahead.
Yeah. Well, they don't even know. No. I think that's what I've seen. They don't even know what they're navigating, how to process it, how to feel about it. Because if they are exposed to something here that clashes at home, you know, it puts them into it at this young age, a weird place, mm-hmm. you know? And I guess I would challenge people to think about, because I just kind of was like, we'll do the normal. We'll just do what most people do or whatever the case is, that we can fall into the category of like, oh, that's just how it is. That's just the norm.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I guess in the culture, in a lot of ways it is, but it just doesn't take that responsibility away. And to your point, it's like, we don't get this time back. And how can you create the opportunity to pour it? And maybe it's not homeschooling, but it's ways in which you navigate your schedule or you create more opportunity or more off days where you take whatever the case may be for people's context. But yeah, that's just stuff we're navigating for sure. Mm-hmm. It's been an interesting journey that thankfully you and I are unified on. We prayed about it and feel led to it, and you're up for it. And that's yeah. what everyone asks is, how is she going to do that? You
by,
know,
by the grace of God.
Yeah. So we'll do a recap a year from now.
And, yeah, that and sounds check good. In on, see how many more wrinkles I have.
Your hair is gray, Heather. What is happening?
Well, I hope this encourages you. I hope it gets you to think. And I will say, we made every decision. I mean, we are asking the Lord, like, open the door, give us the wisdom, because it has to look different for everyone. But what is it that he's calling you? And I just hope this gives you the courage to maybe think outside of what's normal and think, dream, and think about what you want for your family, your marriage, and your children. So we love you guys. We will be back again soon, we promise, with fun news to share. We hope you all are doing so well. Have a blessed week, and we will catch you next time.